Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Hey, Scott.
How you doing, Mark?
Good. Good. Got another great topic to define today. Another great word to define today. I know you really like defining these terms, so.
Well, defining is one thing. Your word is sin, isn't it?
It is.
Sin. Yeah, sin. Defining is one thing, sinning is another, Mark.
Right.
And so, I'm probably, who knows, I'm probably better at this one than I was at the other ones.
Right.
You know, well, grace and faith and all those, I'm not always very good at those, but I'm...
Yeah. They're not super easy to define because we just kind of take for granted that we know what they mean in a lot of cases.
Well, that's true. That's kind of why we're doing the whole thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know I've had a lot of practice with this sin.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, sin is something that I really misunderstood and had no idea that I was misunderstanding. I mean...
Did you talk about it much, or was it subject that came up at church or not?
Yeah. The more I thought about this, the more we definitely, this was a word that was used all the time. You'd hear it all the time, sins, but it was acts that you were doing. So I feel like I had a good understanding of what a sin was or committing sins, what that meant, but I didn't have any idea that I had a sinful nature.
So never really talk about why you might have been committing those sins.
Right. Or the fact that I was a sinner. That mm-hmm. would be, you would not have people on the same page at Followers. They would not all admit or say that they were sinners. I thought of myself like I made mistakes. I committed sins, but I considered other people sinners.
Really?
Yeah.
And they were sinners and you were a mistaker?
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
I remember thinking as a kid, like how many lies can you tell before you're a liar? Like,
oh, that is actually a really good question.
You know what I mean? Because it's not good to be a liar, obviously. It's not good to tell a lie either, but I feel like there was this...
What did you come up with? That's a great question. How many lies did you tell before? Can you tell before you're a liar?
I told more lies than I can even remember.
Well, no, I'm not asking for a confession. I'm just saying, like, theoretically, how do you arrive at a number on that?
I remember having the conversation with my mom one time, actually, and the answer that she gave me I thought was pretty good. She said that a liar tells a lie when it would be easier to tell the truth. And
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was but anyway, we're not here to define what it means to be a liar, but
I mean, I think a liar tells a lie, period.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I believe
one,
now.
One that's maybe a psychopath tells it when it's easier to tell the truth.
Right. Right.
Anyway.
But if you don't understand that you have a sin nature and you don't want to admit that you are a liar in your heart, you just say, I'm someone who has told lies, but you wouldn't confess to being a liar. And it's so that's when you come up with these things like, well, a liar is somebody that lies in this way. And then that you can be a kind of an innocent liar, I guess, or someone who just tells lies. But I just don't know now how I could have ever believed that you could tell lies without being a liar. Like, when you tell a lie, you are being a liar. And so it's kind of that thing is changing my way of thinking of understanding the sinful nature that we have in our heart.
Okay.
rather than just counting how many sins you've been guilty of.
So counting sins, in some respect, if it's merely counting sins, you're kind of, you're back to counting the sins on one side of the scale and maybe the good things that you do on the other side of the scale. Yep. So that's the point of counting, would be so that they can balance out, or
right,
the good can outweigh the bad or something. So you measure right. it that way. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. You measure it that way and you make sure to avoid the really bad sins.
Because those are heavier.
We definitely yeah. believed there were some that were heavier than others.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was interesting to me to read some of the things in Scripture, like the list of things, like in Romans 1.
Okay.
And we've talked about this on here before, I think, but Romans 1, 29, starting in 29, says, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. And when I read disobedient to parents, like, I thought I was in the clear on all those other things. And then I thought, what is disobedient to parents doing
in a list
of sins like this? Like, that's how I looked at it. Like, all these other ones are really bad, but I can't claim that I've not been disobedient to parents, you know, to my parents. And it really got me thinking, like, how, first I had to come to grips, are there good sins and bad sins? Like, are there some that are not as bad as others, mm-hmm. and things like that? And so it's a totally different mindset, really.
Well, I was, you know, just thinking about, like, are there good sins and bad sins? Are there things that are a problem? I mean, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, or do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. The sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, men who practice homosexuality, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. You know, maybe those are the bad ones.
Yeah.
But sin keeps you out of the kingdom of God, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Isaiah 59, your sins separate you from God. That's the problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I never looked at them that way, that they separated me from God. Mm-hmm. When I said I made mistakes and other people, I considered other people like sinners, it's a completely hypocritical thing to do. It's a lot of the attitude that I think you see with the Pharisees through the Gospels, and Jesus calls them out on it repeatedly, mm-hmm. over just thinking that they're better than others, and they looking down on people who they consider sinners and not considering themselves sinners.
So are you telling me that I'm a sinner? Are you telling me that I'm a Pharisee if I consider myself not a sinner? You can say yes.
Think it's okay. That we have to. I think we'd have to look at 1 John and say that, okay, if we are, if Ooh. We say that we are without sin, what is that? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So.
So if the shoe fits, wear it.
I think
what you're telling.
Yeah. And that's the. That's the thing, is if I say I do have sin, because the Bible says if I don't say that, then I'm deceiving myself.
Mm-hmm.
If I say that I do have sin, is that the same as saying I'm a sinner? Because that's what I'd really like to get to with this. Can you be guilty of sin without being a sinner? It's kind of like the lying thing.
It's a lot like the lying thing.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah.
Just grammatically, it's a lot like the lying thing, if nothing right. else.
Yeah. Hmm. So it's challenging with what we were taught, or what I was taught, or what I came to understand, at least, that I never considered we were never taught anything about original sin, like Adam's, the fall that we've talked about on here before. Right. You know, we were, one of the verses that we would hear a lot is from Romans 14, and it was just the back half of verse 23, and it just says, "For whatever is not of faith is sin." And that, so that was the definition, really, is whatever is not of faith is sin. But we've already defined faith on here. You have to have faith defined to know what this means, right?
That's true. And that was really the only case in which you'd have sin. I mean, as far as, I mean, whatever, I mean, that does cover everything. But, I mean, that's how you would use the word sin, would be everything else was a mistake, but if it had to do with this specific,
well,
you know.
I would, yeah, I think I would use the word, I'm using the word mistake a lot. Like, we use the word sin, we in counting sins, but I would say this verse was most used about not going to the doctor, because going to the doctor, that's what faith is.
That's kind of the faith that really counts.
Yeah, exactly. So they can't.
So if that's the faith that really counts, then that would also be the sin that really counts too, then.
I think that was considered the worst. Yeah, was by a lot of people, at least, is because you have given up your faith. You've lost your faith and sought help. So that was definitely considered a sin, but.
So what would you say then is the problem? I mean, I guess I already said that you won't inherit the kingdom of heaven, but I mean,
right?
Why don't you get to the kingdom of heaven if you are a sinner? What do you mean? What's the issue with that?
Right. Well, I think back to the scale. If you have too many sins piled up, then you can't do enough good things to make up for it. In that belief system, you can't take enough dinners to people's house or stay up with enough sick people or roof enough houses to do that. That's why we talked about people live their life out there, their whole life, and then you see them on their deathbed saying, "I just don't know if I've done enough. I just don't know if I've done enough." And
because they're not sure how many sins are too many.
Right. Right.
And they're not sure that what they've,
yeah.
Because really that's the, I mean, I suppose if you're going to ask that question, how many sins are too many? I mean, what would be your answer now?
Right. Right. Well, I would, again, I'd go to Romans again and I would say, Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Mm-hmm. So I would say one sin is too many.
So if I'm, I mean, you distinguished earlier between mistake and sin.
Right.
Okay. What is that distinction? I mean, how would you see that distinction now? Let me say it that way.
Oh, well, how I would see that distinction now. So when you put your trust in Jesus for your salvation and you are saved, you are forgiven of all of your sin, past, present, future sin. You don't stop committing sins when you're saved, but we are given the righteousness of Christ and he takes our sin on the cross.
Okay.
And so I think that's the difference. It's not about how many sins there are. The difference is, do you put your trust in Jesus?
Are your sins forgiven?
Are your sins forgiven?
I was getting a little different question than that, but I'll let's stay on this one because this one's better.
Okay.
But because the question really is not, I mean, how many or how bad or any of that. The question, because the assumption is that you can't clear your own name. You can't clear your own sin.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't clear your own sin, then the question is not, did you sin or not?
Right.
Because like it says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned
yeah.
and come short of the glory of God. Everybody. And so, you know, one is too many. I've done it. The question is not, have I done it too many times? It's one. If one is too many times, the answer already is yes.
Yeah.
And I can't clear my own name. So then you're saying that it ultimately is faith in Jesus that is going to free me from the sin or have my sin forgiven. And that is going to be the thing that sets me free.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I mean, we read 1 John, the beginning of, we read verse 8 already. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So it's not about living your life in a way where you eliminate sin completely from your life. It's have you turned to Jesus for forgiveness of those sins? Because you can't.
And are you, I would say, are you turning?
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, once and for all, I did it and I'm good and now. But am I turning again, you know, today for today's sins and tomorrow for tomorrow's sins?
Yeah.
As well as kind of a once and for all, you know what, I'm done trying to balance these scales. I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, I've given up on the fact that I'm pretending I didn't sin.
Right.
I'm calling it a mistake.
Right.
I really did, and what am I going to do? I'm actually going to have to confess, which simply means to say the same thing as or to say the same thing that God would say about my sin.
Yeah.
And as soon as I'm willing to admit what God would say about my sin, then he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. So it isn't merely just like taking, you know, it's not just taking the sin off that scale.
Right.
As though somehow your goodness is still weighing heavy on the other, but it just cleans the whole slate and the filth that comes with the sin is gone.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's such a freedom in not having to make this hypocritical determination about, no, I just made some mistakes, I wasn't sin. No, you can say, there's this freedom in being able to say, I was a liar. I was a liar, and I confess that to the Lord, and I'm forgiven of that, and that has been washed away. Mm-hmm. There's such a freedom in that rather than constantly trying to compare yourselves to others and be better than...
Well, when you say there's freedom, I mean, so think about that. Compare yourself to others. I'm not as much of a liar as so-and-so.
Yeah.
I mean, that there's sort of a gamesmanship there, but... So you say you're a liar, and now I'm thinking, oh, dear, Mark's a liar.
Right.
You know, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to say, and I've been forgiven, and Christ took that on the cross, and you can hold it against me if you want, but Jesus doesn't hold it against me.
Yeah.
And, I mean, all of the, whatever the teeth I might have in my accusation, Mark, you're a liar, are just gone.
Yeah.
Because that's what forgiveness and cleansing does, is it just takes all of the sting away from any of those accusations.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, it's an important thing that I think people know that it's not the individual sins that they need to be as concerned with as the sinful nature that is just in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
From the fall, like I said, there are Bible verses that talk about that. Like we have a problem, mm-hmm. and the only solution for that problem is Jesus. And there is no way around it. There is no number of things you can do
mm-hmm.
to make up for that or to change that on your own. You can't change your heart It has to be changed for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the formal way that I would say it probably is that we are sinners by nature and choice.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, is that nature. We're not condemned simply for the nature. We're right. condemned because the nature prompts us
mm-hmm.
to rebel against God. Or I mean, these are, so the ways you define sin would be rebellion against God. It would be independence from God. It would be violation of his commands. It would be, in fact, in James it says, if you're guilty of breaking one of the commands, yeah. you're guilty of the whole thing. In other words, it's just your rebellion against or independence from God it's your nature to do that. It's mm-hmm. not that you're condemned for your nature, it's that your nature just expresses itself. What yeah. it means to be human is that I am, you know, I start out ready to rebel against God.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Jesus really presses into this in the Sermon on the Mount when he goes back to the law and says, you've heard it said that you should not commit murder, but I say to you, if you're even angry with your brother without a cause, you're guilty of murder. You know, it's he's pointing to that heart issue, and you know, he's saying it's not, you know, if you've heard it said not to commit adultery, but I tell you, if you even look at someone with lust, then that's the same thing. He's telling us that there's a heart problem. And yeah, I just think it's always been there. And I think it's important because I didn't know about it. Just a couple of the verses that talk about it. In Romans 5, again, it's talking about Adam and says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. That was a new idea for me. I know it's a very basic Bible principle, but that was a new idea for me. I thought it was all about me, my performance, and that's what I was going to be judged on. And I didn't know that there was a problem. Like I remember somebody telling me, you have kids, did you have to teach your kid to lie or did you have to teach your kid to tell the truth? And I had my grandson with me today, and he's one of the funniest little kids, but he just is looking to do something that he knows he's not supposed to do. It's just in his nature. And he was not taught to do that. That is in his nature, and you've got to teach him, you know, the consequences of that and not to do that. You have to mm-hmm. teach a kid to tell the truth, not to lie. So, yeah, I think it's there to see. I just didn't realize that it was, there
in
was
the Bible.
Biblical principles behind it. So, but there is the other one. There's good news to this, and it goes on in Romans 5 from where I was just reading. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So it's that one man's righteousness being Jesus to reverse that curse, just to change that. And
well, that's what it, you know, what it's getting at here is that Adam is the, you know, the father of all, and it's by his disobedience that many mm-hmm. were made sinners. In other words, the sin nature came naturally because I'm a descendant of Adam. I'm not naturally a descendant of Jesus.
Right.
I have to, by faith, join Jesus as he creates this new humanity that essentially replaces, as my primary identity, my identity in Adam. I am now in Christ, and when I'm in Christ, then grace abounds all the more.
Yeah,
and it reigns through it reigns through righteousness leading to eternal life.
Yeah.
And so it's really, it is by faith in Christ that I join him and get his righteousness and get, you know, so plus, on the plus side of the scale, I get his righteousness. On the minus side of the scale, he forgives my sin. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I love that you said that you're not, how did you say that? I'm not by nature a descendant of Jesus.
I'm not by nature joined to Jesus, right?
Yeah.
I have to, by faith, attach myself to Jesus or, you know, pledge my allegiance to Jesus and join him as he creates this new humanity.
Yeah.
And when I do that, yeah, then I get his righteousness and get forgiven of my sins. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about faith in Christ, is are you joining yourself to Jesus and forsaking your primary identity in Adam as a rebel against God?
Yeah, I just think the reason I think that stood out to me is because I was told my whole life that I was by nature, but that I was born in the right place, that I was born, and you're saying, and I think the Bible says, that you were by nature a descendant of Adam. I was by nature a descendant of Adam. It didn't matter where my parents went to church or my grandparents went to church. I think that's...
Even in that same chapter in Romans 5, it says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners.
Yeah.
In other words, that's where you start. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is how God expresses his love to sinners, as he sends his son. And that's what then provides for the remedy of this sin, was the fact that God loved us and sent Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And Paul says the same thing in his letter to Timothy, that is why Jesus came. And Paul was one of the Pharisees. I mean, he was hypocritical about that. He did look at these people as sinners. And then later, after he is changed on the road to Damascus, then he says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. He recognizes it. And that's what I'm saying. It's not, there's no pride that you take in it, but there is such a freedom of being able to confess that yes, this is how bad I was. This is how wrong I was. But Jesus came to save people who were wrong like me.
Well, and see, I mean, think about that. If I'm not wrong, then I'm the good guy.
Yeah.
And what's Jesus? He might be an add-on to a good guy's life.
Yeah.
Or he's unnecessary.
Right.
Whereas if I'm not a good guy and Jesus came to save sinners, he's the good guy.
Yeah.
And he's the one that I have to trust.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is the purpose that Jesus came. And then I just picked one verse. There are so many that you could pick from, but I mean, we've talked about it before, and whenever we define things, we defined faith and then said, how do you get faith? We defined grace, and well, how do you get that? So I would just ask you, how can you get rid of your sin or your sin nature? How can you?
That is a good question.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Well, the verse that I picked is one of my favorites in the whole Bible, and it's describing sinners. It's describing people outside of Christ, and it says, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, that he set aside, nailing it to the cross. So, I mean, there is only one way to atone for sin, and it's through faith in Jesus. It's to be, washed in his blood. If his blood doesn't cover you, then you're still going to stand before God someday with your sin. And that's not a good choice to make. I would I would say to put your trust in Jesus and trust that his righteousness is what you need, and it's there for you. He wants to save sinners. He came into the world to save
there
sinners.
Yeah, and why would you carry that weight yourself when your Bible tells you that that's what Jesus came to do?
Yeah.
Let him do his thing and forgive you.
Yeah. Well, we would sing, this is one of the songs we would sing all the time. It's called Whiter Than Snow. And it says, Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I will be whiter than snow. And that's that promise to cleanse you of all unrighteousness is right there in 1 John that they're talking about. The last verse says, Lord Jesus, thou seest, I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought me, to those who have sought thee, thou never sayest no. Now wash me and I will be whiter than snow. And I mean, we sing that and it's so true that he will not say no. It's not just, you're singing it already. Just do that. You know, seek him and he's there to promising. You can just come and confess your sin and he promises to forgive it and cleanse you of all unrighteousness.
Yeah, one of the most freeing and happy promises in the whole Bible.
Yeah.
And that's really what faith is. So
yeah.
When you say faith is, whatever's not of faith is sin.
Yeah.
And we should end with the song and not with my little discourse here, but
okay.
When you say faith, whatever's not of faith is sin, that's what we're talking about, because faith is taking God at his word. And God's word is, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just. Now, it's going to be sin for you not to believe that.
Right.
It's sin to not take him at his word and not have faith.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to encourage, is have faith that his promise will be good and you can trust him to forgive your sin.
Yeah. And there's no number of sins that make this promise not good either. I don't want anyone thinking, well, I've just done too much, or you don't know. It's just that believe, don't add to it, like you said, with not believing God's promise.
Right.
Trust him and come to him to be washed whiter than snow.
That's great advice. Thank you.
Right. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.